Welcome into the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, and today we're talking about how good Jalen Williams is right now. So Jalen Williams is on Oklahoma City. It's confusing. There's two Jalen Williams on the team. I'm talking about the better one. Talking about the, what is he classified as? He classifies as forward. He's like a tweener, I guess. He's a tweener between like a shooting guard and a small forward. He's 6'4", but he has a plus wingspan, so he's functionally more like closer to like 6'6". Wingspan's pretty crazy. We're going to talk about that a lot in this episode, but this is a scouting report. I don't know, is that what I want to call it? Scouting report slash overview of a player. Basically, we're going to break it down into three sections to try to get a more complete picture of how good Jalen Williams is right now. So we're going to break it down into the box score component. We can maybe call that box score or production. We're going to look at the analytics, what the Basketball Index stuff has to say. And then lastly, just watched a bunch of tape on him. We'll break down the offense and the defense. So hoping that the production combined with the analytics combined with the tape will give us a 3D kind of more accurate view to how good Jalen Williams is right now. He's a second year player with Oklahoma City, having a phenomenal season. He is a slasher in our offensive role and a wing stopper in our defensive role. Kind of gives you a little bit better an idea of what he's doing. And I could say like shooting guard or small forward, but let you know he's an on-ball player. He's a slasher. And then he's also been an on-ball defender as a wing stopper, but he like more of a tweener. So that is helpful, but he's like a wing stopper. And I would say he's closer to being a helper, which is, again, someone that rotates over from the corner sometimes because we can only display one role that you're in. I would say if he was used maybe a little differently for maybe the next month, that could switch over based on the tape study of how often he was off ball. But he definitely does spend time on ball. I'm not trying to say he doesn't, but just wanted to throw that little caveat in there. So let's get into it. Let's start talking about how good Jalen Williams is right now. Because in my midseason player rankings, I had him as a C-plus player, so which is way too low. He was right on that cut line. So basically what I did is I broke it up into tiers. We went, you know, A-plus, A, A-minus, all the way down to C-plus, where I wanted to talk about every above-average player in the league. And I talked about basically 150 players. And there's an article for it on the website if you haven't seen it. And he was right on that line of being a B-minus player at the time because this was a little bit before the middle of the season. And I was just a little hesitant. I wasn't as familiar with his game. I hadn't done a deep dive on him. I'd seen him play some. I'd seen his analytics, and they looked pretty good. He looked like a two-way player, which is always valuable. And it was just one of the things I got wrong where there was a couple players that in hindsight, I was like, oh, these guys are in the wrong tier, where he definitely should have been a B-minus player, which would be like a top 70-ish player. And then now he's just continued to play so well where like he's knocking on the door of a B-level player in my mind, which would be like a top 50 guy. So not sure if he's exactly there yet, because again, the hesitancy was I personally hadn't seen a ton of him, and his track record wasn't super long because again, this is his second year in the league. But that was probably the biggest mistake in the rankings I did from the midseason. So wanted to just kind of own that because, again, for sure a B-minus player and then maybe would be a B player. So he's been really good this season. So that's what made me want to do a deep dive and kind of dig into how good he is right now, hence the name of the episode. So let's look at the box score really quick. 19 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists. So just immediately, anytime anyone's scoring 19 points a game, anytime you're scoring over 15 points a game in my mind, I'm like, all right, this, I need to take a closer look at this guy because, you know, we talked about it a ton. You can put up a lot of points on a bad team, but on a good team, on a really good team, you're scoring on volume. It's like, okay, hold on. What's going on here? So again, 19 points a game, really good. 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists. You're getting some amount of production from him. You look at the efficiency numbers, 43% from three on pretty low volume. I think he's taking, actually, we'll get the updated numbers because I took these notes down a few days ago. He is up to, my God, he's up to 45% from three now. He's taking about 3.5 a game. So he does shoot them. He just doesn't shoot a ton of them. It's not a high volume part of his game. And then also he's, you got to remember, SGA's on the team, who's a really big time scorer. And then Chet Holmgren's in a similar league in terms of scoring output. So, you know, you do have to break up some of the scoring volume on the team and dish it out to players. So again, really good from three, 45% this year, on lower-ish volume, again, like 3.5 attempts. A higher volume guy would be like 7 attempts a game. So really good from three on low volume. Has been above average from two in both seasons, so scoring really well on both sides of the three-point line. That's good. The free throw rate is pretty low. Shoots about three a game, not a ton, but good percentage from there, 82%. So if you blend that all together, you're getting a 108 true shooting plus, and that's really good efficiency. That's really strong efficiency. That is, I mean, I talk about efficiency all the time, and as your second or third scoring option to be at 19 points a game on plus 8%, that's really, really good stuff. So from a box score production standpoint, we're getting a good amount of points on a really strong efficiency. Both sides of the three-point line look really good. You know, you want robust scoring. There are guys that, you know, are more specialists where they do one thing or two things really, really well, and that's great, but the better the player is, the more well-rounded you want the game, obviously. So the production stuff's really good. Let's move on to the analytics. He is 83rd percentile in O LeBron, which is good. It's a little... So the O LeBron, the all-in-one impact metrics are a little bit tricky to use because percentile is a good way to do it, right? 0 to 100, it's pretty straightforward, but you get really big time kind of crowding at the very, very top. So the difference between the top guy in O LeBron and the 20th guy in O LeBron is gigantic. Like, it's a really, really, it's the difference probably between being like a plus six in terms of 6 points per you're adding to your team, basically per 100 possessions, to like, I don't know, maybe down to like plus 1 point. So it's huge. And then there's a lot of players kind of in that middle band. So it can be a little hard to sometimes communicate, because like, I know the raw scale really well, because obviously it's my job to be using it all the time. But if I were to sit here and tell you where it's like, oh yeah, he's like a plus 0.4 points per 100 possessions, you're like, I don't really know what to do with that. So 83rd percentile is what we're going to use. It is good. He is definitely an offensive difference maker, but you have to just be careful when you're comparing him to be like, oh, well, this guy's in the 92nd percentile. They're pretty close. And it's like, not exactly. So I just kind of wanted to throw that. This is the good thing about the podcast. We're like, if I tweet this out, I can't provide all the additional context. Let's look at the shooting talents. So again, shooting talents take into account your shot quality. That's what it starts with. How well you perform relative to that shot quality. Basically, there's like an expected points you're supposed to produce on shots, because it looks at how everybody else does, where it's like, if you're shooting at the rim on a really heavily contested shot, there's an expected amount of points you're going to produce on that shot. And what shot quality and shot making do is basically like, okay, how difficult is what you're doing, shot quality, and then shot making is what are you, or like, how are you performing relative to the situation. So it's more of like a smart shooting stat. And then also you get a bump for the more you can self-create, because self-creation is really valuable. So that's what goes into all of the shooting talents. So we're going to break it down by three level. We're going to rim, mid-range, three-pointer, and then we'll look at the overall. And that gives us a really good kind of understanding of where this player's strengths lie. So he is Jalen Williams. You know, it's funny. Two Jalen Williams on this team, and both the names spelled differently. It's just kind of funny. When I was watching the tape, the commentators, I think for the Heat, were like, both Jalen Williams in the game right now. This is very confusing. but let's look at the three-level scoring. So 89th percentile in finishing talent. That's really good. Again, finishing talent takes into account all the things I just talked about, but it's combining how most of this one has the creation weight is more important here because of the way basketball works, but it's your ability to get to the rim and then your ability to finish at the rim relative to your situation. So 89th percentile, really strong. 97th percentile in mid-range talent. That's getting right to the tippy top of the league. When I originally saw that, I was like, oh, wow, I did not realize his mid-range game was that good. And that was something I really wanted to key in on the tape study, and we'll get to that in the last part of the podcast. But again, 89th percentile in finishing talent, that's really strong. 97th percentile in mid-range talent is elite. That's really, really good. And then 87th percentile in three-point shooting talent. Again, he's been really good on threes. He just gets dinged here because the volume is so low. Again, only shooting 3.5 a game. If you just look, you're like, he's shooting 45% from three, which is a flamethrower, but the volume, just kind of the overall output, is bringing down the three-point shooting talent. So, I mean, again, his creation isn't the highest there. He's doing most of the damage there on catch and shoots. You combine all that together and you have 95th percentile in overall shooting talent, which is kind of, so like looking at the individual levels is really good, but they're doing those at different rates. So if you just cram it all together for overall shooting talent, 95th percentile, really, really good. Watching him on tape, that made sense. It felt like him shooting the ball felt like a very good possession for the team majority of the time. So that is really, really exciting for a player this young, 22 years old or age 22 season. I would say like how old they are based on their age season. And some people are like, well, no, they actually haven't had their birthday yet, or their birthday just happened. And I'm like, relax, I'm talking about the season. But 95th percentile, really, really good there. So the shooting talents like him a lot. Again, that's taking into account difficulty. And that is another really good sign. So far, the box score production looking really good. The analytics back that up, and they're like, oh yeah, no, we really like this. And like I said, on a bad team, sometimes the box score and the analytics really disagree. On a good team, they oftentimes agree more, because it's like, well, you know, you start working backwards, and you're like, how's this team winning all these games? One last thing, 93rd percentile in playmaking talent. And one thing I did want to point out is this was one thing on tape I was a little disappointed by, because I was like, oh, 93rd percentile playmaking talent, that's really good, but how does that work out? So I dug into, we have five different things that affect that. The two most important are your, we call it volume, but it's basically your potential assist rate that's padded. So how often you're passing it to teammates for potential assists. So if you pass it to someone and then they shoot it, and if it would have been an assist if they make it, it basically doesn't matter if they make or miss. And then the other side of that is you got to take into account the quality, because you can generate a bunch of poor quality shots for teammates, and that's not super valuable. That's not going to get your offensive rating really high. So you combine these two and you get a much better idea. So he is a lower volume guy. He's 118th in passing creation volume, which is the name of the stat. So he's not generating a ton of shots for teammates, but he's more the secondary guy, right? Because SGA is the primary on ball guy. So it's gonna cap your volume on some level. But then just watching him play, we're kind of, you know, cheating ahead to the tape study. He's looking to score when he has the ball, which is not a bad thing. Like, you want some level of aggression in your player, because you need him to, I mean, he's scoring almost 20 points a night. Like, you kind of got to put your foot on the gas pedal there. So the volume is low, 118th, but the quality is really, really high. It's 19th in the league. So really elite quality. Oklahoma City as a team, I think they're coached pretty well. There seems to be a high level of like analytics in their organization. And one thing is analytics does is it makes you play in a way that produces higher quality shots. And then he's playing well in the system. So you got to give him credit for that. So again, lower volume, but really, really high quality. So that's very, very good. He has a lot of pick and roll possessions where he's either throwing it to the roll man or, you know, spraying it to the shooter spacing. So in a lot of opportunities to create potentially high quality shots out of that. So analytics looking good on offense. If we go to defense, he was above average in D. LeBron last year, which was good. This year, a little bit more offensive responsibility. He's now pretty much right at league average. But again, for like a tweener guard that's 6'4", being a league average defender while giving you what he is production-wise on offense, I think you're pretty happy with that. Going down the notes further, pretty good defensive playmaking, on-ball steals, 77th percentile, so that's good. Passing lane defense, which is your deflections and your basically your off-ball steals, intercepted passes, again, 78th percentile, so really good in both the on-ball and off-ball defensive playmaking. That good passing lane defense is a good number to look at when you're kind of wondering about team defense. 95th percentile in defensive versatility. That means he's switching a lot. He, you know, the wingspan keeps coming up. 6'4 with a big time plus wingspan. He's also pretty stout. He has a, I don't know what you'd say, like a large trunk. He's not a super skinny guy. He's pretty stout, and that comes into play on defense. On the tape, that definitely showed up where players were initiating contact and he was absorbing contact without losing ground, which is really important. So the defensive versatility there on tape, that made sense, because sometimes you're like, he's, because this doesn't look at how effective you are. It just looks at how often you're guarding different players. And sometimes the players, you can guard a lot of guys. You're just getting toasted by everybody. It's not that good. But having solid D LeBron while guarding a lot of different positions, that is a good indicator. And then his matchup difficulty, which is how good of the players he is guarding. He has a B. I think that was somewhere in the 70s percentile wise. And there's, he was kind of guarding like a myriad of players where, like, you know, sometimes he's guarding some random guy and sometimes he's guarding Kevin Durant. So there was a good mix there. Effective contesting shots away from the rim on jumpers, which was good. Also good at contesting shots near the rim. So that is something that you want to take into account. So the contesting shots at the rim, that was more of a, that's backed up by the numbers. That's backed up by rim point saved. I thought the quality of contests away from the rim, that we do have metrics for that. They haven't been updated for this season, but on tape that looked pretty good. Again, wingspan comes into account there, but also like body control, and wasn't in the popcorn machine a lot, right? Wasn't just jumping at pump fakes, getting off the ground a lot, getting out of position, was doing a lot of sound contests where there were a couple blocks, right? And like I said, there were some steals, good pickpocket rating, good passing lane defense, but not overly aggressive on defense, which is good. Overall, all these analytics made me think he kind of smelled like a good team defender. I wanted to back that up with the tape, but just looking at the metrics, I was like, yeah, this is probably going to go well. And then the last thing I did was I looked at the tape. So let's get into what I saw on offense. I thought the handle was pretty good. I would like that to improve. He had some shake and bake, which was good, but definitely that seems like somewhere, again, only second year in the league, could definitely tighten that up and could get more dangerous. So the can definitely handle the ball now, but that's somewhere I think is an obvious spot where it's like you can just get better at that. So after that, gets to his mid-range spots really well. He played under control, really good touch in the mid-range. He looked comfortable. It looks already really advanced, the mid-range game. That was very good. That popped immediately. If you play drop coverage against him, good luck. There was, I think it was the Suns game I was watching where Nurk was in pretty deep drop, you know, pick and roll and just burying elbow jumpers. A lot of confidence. He was feeling real good about that. And then in just a number of other games, even in when it wasn't dropped, the ability to create some contact, create separation, and he had also like multiple spots. Like it wasn't just get to the elbow to shoot it. There was kind of like, it would be like the mid post area where he was pulling up from, where there was multiple spots where it was like, okay, he's getting to where he wants to get. He's shooting the shot he wants to get and he's connecting on them. So the mid-range game, this is going to be really interesting. When he's in the prime of his career, like he will definitely be one of the best mid-range shooters in the league. So that's something to see him just kind of continue to sharpen that up and get that to be like really, really nasty. Overall, changes speeds really well. He seems to be a good athlete, not a phenomenal athlete. And the ability to change speeds becomes more important there because he can't just burst past everyone like other players. Like Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey doesn't even need, like, you could just pretty much go like all gas, no brakes, and it's hard to hang with him. When you throw change of speeds on top of that, that's where it becomes like unguardable. But Jalen Williams, like, obviously not that explosive. So the ability to change speeds, play with some rhythm, get people rocking the wrong way, like that stuff was all really good to see. And that was all, yeah, there's kind of like an interesting thing where you want to see areas where you're like, oh, that could definitely get better because you see a path to how that player can improve. But there's also this kind of like weird thing where, like, especially scouting out of college, I'll hear people be like, oh, well, he's already good at all, like most of these things, so I don't know if he can really get that much better. And it's like, well, I kind of want the built-in floor. So all these things are just a plus to already be good at. Moving on to the three-point game, it's surprising that the volume's as low as it is because he looks really comfortable taking catch and shoot threes. He's obviously hitting them in a super high clip. And there didn't see a lot of hesitancy when he was shooting them. So I liked him on catch and shoots. It looked good, obviously was connecting a lot, but looked comfortable. The stroke looked pretty compact, pretty fast, and just overall good. I will say on the pull-up threes, that didn't look as strong. That was more, I guess, out of sync is how I would call it. Like, it was just like getting the feet down, getting the weight transfer into the shot. A lot of them were short, and they just looked unpolished, maybe would be the word, where not saying he could never do it, but that would be a big area to improve on. So, like the catch and shoots, the pull-ups, not as much at this juncture. Again, going back to the wingspan, does a nice job of, when getting around the rim, like especially like so, like on layups where he has a head of steam, he sometimes takes like a, it's like in between like a running layup and has like a little bit of hook to it, so he can alter his, it almost sounds like a pitcher like throwing from different arm slots, but he's able to alter his release of the ball and kind of get it like over his own self a little bit in the way that a hook shot does. So he's able to protect the ball because, again, he's only 6'4". So, or heck, I've said he's 6'4 like a million times in this podcast. I probably should double check that. Okay, I've seen him listed at 6'4 and I've also seen him listed at 6'5. So you get the idea of how tall he is. Don't rake me over the coals here for the internet fighting over an inch. But the point is, he's not like a 6'7 wing, right? That's the point I'm trying to get to. But does a good job kind of protecting the ball and throwing it from some difficult angles to get his shot blocked. I did see him get his shot blocked a few times, and that's just going to happen in the NBA, but did a good job of kind of avoiding that. And then I thought maybe the most important skill he had was the ability to adjust at the rim once he was already in the air. So there was some hang time. And his ability to start with like a certain type of finish and then work it around a player or go around someone, or like there was some creativity, which was good, but there was also the control of the ball. I was thinking of what this word would be, but the ability to control the ball enough in the air to really be able to move it around and take a different shot than was originally planned because the defense obviously has moved as the play has developed. So that was really, really good, and that made his finishing kind of package really impressive to me. So the mid-range game, super elite. The catch-and-shoot game I liked, and then around the rim, can't get to the rim all of the time, but still gets there, and then the ability to adjust when he's there. That's the type of thing where it's like, it's really hard to teach someone to learn how to adjust at the rim, but the ability to already be able to do it, really, really important. Threw some funky lobs, threw some bad lobs to Chet. That's another area to improve, where there was a couple where I felt bad for Chet, where he had to do a lot of like twisting to get the ball. But yeah, that's going to sum it up for the offensive tape. On defense, again, the wingspan definitely causes problems for some offensive players. He has pretty good hands. That was backed up by the data. I saw that. Again, pretty stout. Like I said, a bigger guy just in terms of his build for most basketball players, like not a string bean. That definitely helped. Absorbed contact really well. Didn't give a lot of ground. Really good contests on jumpers, where just bothering the players consistently was really good. And then the awareness seemed pretty good off ball. Seemed to be engaged in plays consistently. Seemed to be kind of that half step ready on the rotations where he needed to go, which was good. And then there was a couple plays where reading the body language of another teammate. Like, there's a couple where he was the low man and there was kind of two offensive players moving behind him, and then one of his teammates coming over and kind of, you know, that pass off you need to do. There was a couple times where he would read the body language of his teammate, who would then kind of like X out to the corner, and then he would try to go to the wing to like kind of swap with them. And there was a couple times where his teammates would fake him out. I don't know if it's because they have a younger team or I don't know what it is, but like his teammates would take one step to someone they were closing out to, and then they would decide to go somewhere else because the ball was kind of ping-ponging around. So if you weren't looking at the tape, you'd be like, oh, it's Jalen Williams out of position here. Because there was a couple where like the rotations were a little funky and definitely late. And then I was like, oh no, he was just getting juked out by his own teammates. But I think that's good, weirdly good, because it's like, well, he's definitely paying attention. And he's like, okay, I didn't realize you were going to go here. Okay, I'm going to go there because we got to cover everybody. And then be like, and there's a couple of those. But that's also just happens in bad. Like, I don't think I've really ever watched a player where it's like, and then they rotated perfectly every single play, every single time. Because like, it's hard. There's a lot of people moving around. That's another thing. It's like set pick and roll, nobody's moving. It gets a lot easier. But like, there's a lot of like fluidity on the back end. It can get a little confusing. But overall, looked pretty good on defense. And anytime, especially like you're not like a big and you can be like solid, there is like a level of like, who are you being surrounded by? And that can really elevate or drop your overall, like your D LeBron or whatever metrics you're looking at. Like, it does affect that. It's hard to separate that. But overall, I thought looked pretty good on defense. So I felt pretty comfortable with him there. So overall, box score production looked really good. The analytics looked pretty strong. I think you really like that. Those shooting talents. The playmaking talent is a little bit more of leaning on the higher quality versus the volume, just a good thing to know. The defense, the pretty good defensive playmaking, and then the tape, you felt good about it. You would like to see maybe a little bit more playmaking just in terms of volume on the tape, but the scoring at the three levels looked good, and then defensively felt pretty good about what you saw as well. So Jalen Williams, really good player, lock for top 75 player right now. Like, no question in my mind is he a top 75 player. And like, the real question is he a top 50 player? I think I was just talking about somebody, like I was talking to somebody yesterday about this, where the more you follow basketball, the more you realize how fluid things really are, because there's so many young players coming in and out of the league, and players are just always changing all the time. And it's interesting if you, I think that's a good conversation where it's like, is Jalen Williams a top 50 player? And it's like, there should be a debate here. I think the best way to solve that answer is, it's going to be in the playoffs this year, right? Oklahoma City has been really good. He's been really good, but you'd like to see it tested against stiff competition in the first round, in the second round of the playoffs. Who knows, if things go really well, Western Conference Finals for OKC, that would be a dream season for them. But I want to see Jalen Williams have a really big playoff series. If we can get some production out of him there, I think I would be really comfortable in putting him in the top 50 for the league, probably right around like 47, 48, 49. And I mean, that's pretty good for a second year player. That's pretty good. Where was he drafted? He was the 12th overall pick. So yeah, you're getting, I mean, if he just stays at the top, like let's just say he freezes, doesn't get any better, even though he's only 22 and it's a second year, you're pretty happy with this kind of two-way scorer that has some defensive playmaking. Like, the floor here is very high. You feel really good about that. He was second in Rookie of the Year voting last year, so it's looking like a top 75 guy for sure right now. And like, who knows what the limit is here, because he's definitely got some savvy, he's definitely got some skill, and is scoring at a pretty good rate for a 22-year-old. So that's how good Jalen Williams is right now. We're knocking on the door for sure a B-minus player, knocking on the door being that B player. and just a pretty fun guy to watch. So Jalen Williams, very good. For my money, the most underrated player in the league, and can really do some damage on offense. So you want to talk to me about this on Twitter at TaylorMetrics, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Index Podcast.